together, talked about being so free. Willkommen bei Mit Milch und Zucker, wo wir mit Menschen Kaffee trinken, damit ihr sie kennenlernen könnt. Willkommen zurück bei Mit Milch und Zucker, neue Woche, neue Folge. Wir haben eigentlich schon eine Folge aufgenommen gehabt, die werden wir aber scratchen, weil wir die Möglichkeit hatten, mit Anna aus der Ukraine zu reden, weil wir es wichtig finden, dass momentan die Zivilbevölkerung von der Ukraine gehört wird.
Maybe we should switch to English now, because the talk was in English and as an introduction might be good to for Anna to hear what we say and why we did that. And yeah, so maybe Christiane, you can summarize what Anna talked about and who she is. And yeah,
Anna is a former chairman for the Liberal Youth in Ukraine. She's currently not in Kiev anymore. She's in a safe place. She drove there with her family and the son of a volunteer in the Ukraine army. She's telling the story about how she got there and why she's there and how she's doing, how her family is doing, how the Ukraine civilization is doing, how they're communicating, how they're looking into the future if everything was unexpected. And most of all, she's talking about what we can do, what the European Union has to do, and how we can help. And that's why we talked to Anna, because we wanted to know, and we would appreciate you to listen to what Anna has to say. We will put in the show notes everything you can do. We will put there the NGOs. We will put the links to the different charity organizations where you can donate money. And we just really want you to listen to Anna and how the Ukrainians are currently doing.
We asked Anna that if at some point she wants to come back to our podcast and talk about what's going on, she's always open. And we're very thankful for getting the opportunity to talk to her. I can't imagine how difficult these times are. And it's very sad to hear that so close to Europe and so close to Austria, what's going on. But so it's very important for us to hear that this episode, because it's really important. And Anna has a lot of things to say about what we can do and how we can help. That's the most important thing for us. Thank you, Anna, for taking your time to talk to us. We mostly hear news from the Ukraine from politicians, advisors, and experts. We created this podcast to give people a voice, and we think it's important to hear the voice of the civilian population in the Ukraine. And we are very happy that you took your time and talked to us. The first thing we want to ask is how you're doing and how is your family doing?
Yes, we take some pills to calm down, but more or less I'm okay. And as I said in private talk, I'm much better than many of us, many of other Ukrainians, and especially I'm much better than my army that protects me. But yeah, thanks. We are in a safe place already, and family is okay and I'm okay. As much as we can be okay in such situation.
Yeah. How was it for you? Because when we went to bed on Wednesday evening, we didn't realize that there's going to be a war Thursday morning. Did you suspect that something is coming, or was it for you out of the blue?
Well, we always wait something from the east because you have a bad neighbor. Also, some war was actually started from 2014 with Crimea taken away out of the blue. And also then it was the war on Donbas. So it was like, still, it's a shock, because in the 21st century, you know, you have drones, you have space technologies, you have like incredible computer IT technologies, and some people come and start killing you, like, and start blowing your houses. And this was already, you know, shock. And then after 8 years of this going more or less, like, it was maybe fading down. And then we got a messages from USA intelligence, like, guys, they're going to attack you. And so most of international staff from all international organizations, they have left last week. And it was like told that, okay, 16th of February is a day of attack. So it was, you know, really interesting because I remember my feeling. First of all, you get tired of the panic.
Mm.
You wait everything, but still, it's unbelievable that it will start. And when they start, they want to attack Kyiv. You say, okay, Kyiv is in the middle of the country. They probably will attack heavily on the east and probably on the south. But they actually started from every country, and they even started to bomb Western airports, like that are very close to Poland and to Romania. And this was like, whoa. So then we had a talk, and also in my like job in the office, we started talking that is it real? Do you think it's real? And we thought that 23rd of February might be a date of attack because Putin likes symbols. And 23rd of February, it's kind of the Russian army of Soviet army. And we thought he probably will give us a gift attacking us. So basically it was night from 23rd to 24th. Still, it was kind of, how is it happening? Like I woke up at 4 a.m. because of some explosion I had heard. Then I understood that it's Hostomel airport. It's military airport that is used only for militaries. And it was not used very much. It was not at all used by civilians. But it's kind of 15 kilometers from me and kind of 30 kilometers from Kyiv. And you hear the explosions and you see your kids and you say, oh, what should I go do? And then at 7 a.m., like people started to wake up. Facebook started to, like all these messages said, what's going on? And then we got messages from Ukrainian army and also from Minister of Defense that yes, it is exactly what you thought about. It's attack. But they started with military objects, airports, and also military objects. And so then it was, you know, I thought probably they will not attack civilians. But actually now, today, they are bombing Kyiv. And my friends, they post pictures of houses exploded, of flats that exploded. So basically, they are attacking the houses. I mean, not like private houses, but like big houses of 22 floors, mm-hmm. And then suddenly it comes to you. And so people are living in subway. Subway is closed as a subway. It functions only as a coverage, as a shelter. Yeah, and some women are given birth in the subway. And it's, of course, it attacks, you know, mental health, of course. But still, I have also, like here, I escaped also with my family. Because one of volunteers, she used to volunteer to Ukrainian army since 2014 because her husband also is a soldier. And she asked me and she insisted that you must leave Kyiv and you must leave Kyiv with my kid. And I was like, yeah, but this is responsibility. And she said, yeah, I ask you to put my kid into your car and move away. I stay here and I don't leave your house unless I see that you help my kid to escape. And here there are several families that are coming and they are coming and coming. So they are trying to give asylum in safe place in Western Ukraine. And I'm about to return to Kyiv probably also, or my husband returns to Kyiv and helps there as much as he can. And also some of my family members, they're still in Kyiv and they will be there. But still, it's incredible also two things. That the Ukrainian army has much more intelligence. It's developed. We also feel international support. Of course, we complain about it. Why NATO doesn't step in directly? Why Russia is still not switched off from SWIFT? Because we know it will hit. It's also a lot of talks that, civilian Russians are not guilty. It's Putin and his army. But we see the messages from Russia and the civilian are really helping. And they're saying, yeah, but, you know, it's about propaganda. There was a case when an aged man, he stopped a Russian machine, war machine, by his car. And he's still alive, but the car is kind of crashed, totally crashed. And Russian media somehow have this message from us. And they distorted it in a way that this Ukrainian army, and it's a family with three kids in the car, and they kill them. You see, yeah, Ukrainian army is hostile to their own citizen. You know, but no, that's not true. And also how much citizens are helping to, in a way, we got messages in Telegram, in other messengers. If you get the message, if you see the sign, mm-hmm. the red signs, there is a lot of red signs. Somehow it helps to direct the missiles. And they say, if you get this, you must destroy it. So people are destroyed by themselves. They see, they provide the message about, I have seen a sign there. I have seen the sign there. Hey, this is destroyed. Here I can't destroy it because it's too high. And they're trying to help as much as they can. And also we got civilian support also, like, how can we help you? People send money, people send medical health help. And this is also incredible. And of course, this is informational noise, and we are all overwhelmed with the information. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, no time to work, no time to even to sleep, no time to even to eat. And many of us do not want to eat. Like, I have this message from many people, like, I don't want to eat and I don't want to sleep. And they say, you must. Mm-hmm. You must keep your mental health because it's really crucial. And I also, like, if you cannot keep your mental health, take a pill now. that's also important. We don't know how much and how long it will stay, but we all hope it will end up soon. First of all, because this, as we call it, Blitzkrieg has failed. They didn't invade us in 2 days as they wanted to. And also the way how people, civilian people unite to help each other. Like people accept other people from Eastern Ukraine, from Kyiv. They accept them just, they say, here is my address, you can come. They never seen these people. They're not relatives, and they accept them. I also have talked to many people who they escaped from Crimea once, they escaped from Donbas once, and now, you know, Russia has reached them there in Kyiv, so they are escaping again, and like these people, I have really a pity for them, especially if they have kids, mm-hmm. and that's really, we have talked to guys who live in suburb of Kyiv. And they started somehow, they are renting an apartment and we have the talks and they say, I don't think Russia will attack us like really directly. No. And then suddenly, okay, but in 2014, I was pretty sure about this too. Mm-hmm. And he was building a house in Donetsk and building a house, a private house, it's really expensive and it's really something you put your life for. I know this because I have been building the house with my husband for 10 years. And really, you know, one missile comes and that's it. That's end. And they left Donbas, they left Donetsk. And now in Irpin, in this suburb, exactly in this suburb, the war is going on. It's not only missiles. They somehow managed to land some forces. And it's really, you can see it from your window, how it's going on. And people live in basements. And I mean, again, 21st century, so much technologies, so much helps. And somebody just comes and puts his nostalgia over the Soviet Union on you with missiles, with guns, with all these stupid things. And you need to hide it's not hurricane, it's not tsunami, it's just an absolutely force of man. Like, humanity has a lot of things to do. Why you should do this again? Not all the diseases can be cured, and not every problem is cured. Like, you have politics, you have informational technology, you have so many things to promote your business interests. Why the hell you must start this all over again? And this is really incredible. you can be smart as hell, I mean, and some missiles reaches you and your life ends. Mm-hmm. And this is incredible. And really, why there is no answer? Because just there is a madman and people support him.
Do you feel like that after what happened to Crimea and the east of Ukraine, like the Donbas, do you think that Europe left you alone and just looked away and thought that's far away from us? Do you think that was the beginning of what's happening now, the war?
I would say that in when the Crimea was taken, nobody would believe it really happens.
Mm-hmm.
It was like really, and from that times, we actually do have some grief about European people because we were told that France and Germany and many other countries, including USA, told to our government that don't start any military things against this. They will not invade you. Come on. Keep quiet. Let them do what they want. Just protest. It will end up soon. And then we actually had a really huge military aggression. They say we didn't kill anyone. Actually, they did. Mm-hmm. And they actually captured the kids of our soldiers in Crimea. And in Donbas also, we could not believe. No, we didn't think it's far from us. Because here in Kyiv, we can feel. We could feel it.
I meant that the Europeans behaved like that's far away from us, so we don't care.
No, that was never the case. Mm-hmm. That was never the case.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, when we got messages from Russian bots, from Russian diplomats, and then it was retransmitted by European media, mm-hmm. that come on, without Donbas, you will be even fine. Because in Donetsk, there are a lot of people who don't like Europe. They want to be with Russia. And now without them, you're better. No, it was never the case.
Mm-hmm.
They tried, I mean, this media, the propaganda, they tried to persuade Eastern people, like, East and West are really different. It's like East and Western Germany. No, it's not the case. Really, there are a lot of researches about political, like whom you vote for political parties.
Mm-hmm.
It was always more or less the same percentage. If a pro-European president gets 60% of votes, it's everywhere, in West, in Central Ukraine, in Eastern Ukraine. If some party gets 10%, like some pro-Russian party gets 10% of votes, it's surprising, but they get also some votes in Western Ukraine, also as in Eastern. Mm-hmm. So it was never the case. There was some grief about this last Yanukovych, who was from Donetsk, and it was like, yeah, you Eastern people, you gave us this president, and it's really your fault. But it's actually also not true. Of course, there was a lot of negative thoughts. And this aggression, it's always, I mean, the tension, it's always rises. Because when you are uncertain about your tomorrow, you start searching somebody to blame. And but this should be, you know, people should be really smart to analyze their feelings. And saying that it was too far from us. No, in Kyiv, we felt it immediately. With the first wave of asylum seekers, mm-hmm. with the first appearance of these NGOs like Crimea SOS, Vostok SOS, which means East SOS, like people who were the first wave of evacuation from Crimea and from East, they immediately organized it in Kyiv, in Western Ukraine, in Central Ukraine, they organized it so-called like units, and they started to seek for help to the second, the third, and the fourth wave of people who are escaping from Donetsk and from Crimea. And the main point why people started escaping was because they were openly pro-European, because they participated in Maidan. And from our European use of Ukraine, basically we had so many people in Donetsk and Luhansk regions, and they all escaped, or they returned only when some parts of Luhansk and Donetsk regions were back under Ukrainian control. Because this is really Russia started attacking first military people, second pro-European people.
Mm-hmm.
And attack, I mean, arrests, tortures, kidnapping, this was incredible, and maybe this experience helps us now, because we were very much shocked back then in 2014, And now we know that Putin will not stop. And this is main message that we want Europe to understand, that you should not say that Ukraine is not out of our business, because it's really a question of European security.
Yeah.
You see, European governments said, Crimea is a stop point. It's important for Putin. You should understand him, like, verstehen Putin. We even can say Putin verstehen. Crimea is important for him. Okay, he will stop. He didn't. Okay, with Donbass and Luhansk, he will stop, and it's enough for him. He just needs the corridor to Crimea. You see, it was not enough. You see, Ukraine is not enough for him. He wants half Europe. He wants half the world. It's like they blame Ukrainians for USA keeping the hegemony in the world. This is like insane.
Yeah,
I am not influencing America, you know? and you're shooting at me. You're shooting at my one-year-old kid. It doesn't influence it. So, like, don't many people, like, the mother who was giving birth in subway, she doesn't affect USA. If you have some questions to USA, ask USA. You don't dare. Yeah. So you want to threat USA attacking Ukraine. But this is what you see in messages, in comments, in media. You see, oh, this West, they are against Russia. They don't, they're all Russophobes, like they're Russian. They have phobia against Russia. So why you attack Ukraine? Try to attack USA. You got some answer immediately. So this is also like a point to understand for Europeans. And I'm personally really thankful to Europeans, especially to liberals, that they say this out loud. This is a question of European security. It's not only about civilians. It's not only about Ukraine and Russia, bad neighborhood. No, it's a question of European security. He doesn't stop with us, for sure.
Don't you think it's about another question about European solidarity? Because, probably where you are, it's closer to us in Vienna than the west of Austria. So I think it's nothing we can tolerate as Europe that one person or one country just takes another country just because they think they can. And I think it's a point of European solidarity to say, no, that won't work.
I mean, the whole point of European Union when it was created, it was actually a matter of economic discussion. That if you want some really good health and good living for your citizens, it's better to have commerce, better to have a better join the common economy, common resources, common regulations and rules, how you live with your neighbors. It's really a mutual benefit. It really helps to live to you and to your neighbors better.
Yes.
It's much better, it's much easier, and it's much more effective to have a negotiation, to have a deal, than to attack and okay, you're weak, I am strong, I will attack you and go get what you want. No, you will not. You will receive a tombs, millions of tombs instead, that's it. And you will get young men without hands and legs, that's what you get. You get people with mental diseases because they have this, trauma. That's what you get. Instead, you can make a negotiation. You can make a deal. There is always some mutual interest you can find. And I think Europe has shown it for all these years of existing and enlarging. And that's why also European use of Ukraine, when we were created and back in 2017, this is our main message, that we want to be this part of this European solidarity, because this is mutual advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you have a lot of things to do, a lot of things to discover, a lot of things to discover to your kids, and really a lot of things to do. I mean, good things to do. Instead, you should really seek for asylum. You should seek for medical help to your soldiers. You should help to find people where to sleep tonight. You should seek a basement which doesn't leak because it's old. And why? And he still doesn't want what doesn't get what he wants. That's the point. Like, yeah, this is European solidarity. And I think that Europe also doesn't matter what political views a citizen in Europe has, it still would change the situation in Ukraine. It would change his point of view, his or her point of view. Because really, it's also a point for the government of Europe, European nations, to reconsider their priorities, to reconsider their messages, and to consider maybe the voice of hate, so like no hate speech, because you see where the hate speech leads now. It really doesn't stop with the speech. Mm-hmm. And then the hate actions actually will harm not only the weak part, it will attack the attacker also. And this is like, you understand, but civilian people, what can I do about this? Just to speak and to speak and to speak, mm-hmm. and then to seek asylum, and then to help other people to seek asylum, and then to speak and to speak.
How do you prepare for the next few days or weeks, or how do you prepare for what lies ahead and you don't know what's going to happen?
Well, I see how my family thinks. This is really like, you don't know what happens tomorrow. You don't know what happens today. Like, we think that Western Ukraine will be more or less safe, but it's not for sure, because as I said, there were two Western airports attacked, and there was a message that there is some land forces who landed in Western Ukraine. And then there is also a message that there are some, as they're like secret groups, intelligence groups who attack Western people. And also, you don't know how much it happens in Kyiv. So what do I prepare? There is a curfew, like you cannot go outside from in Kyiv. You cannot go outside from 5 p.m. till, it says now, till Monday, 8 a.m. But again, like no pharmacy, no food, no nothing. Like, I don't know how it will happen. So in Western Ukraine, still like, people prepare to take more and more people. And so what I can do is I send, spread the message that there is an asylum for you. If you can find transport and you have a small kid, you better escape. It's really how you can help the Ukrainian army. You better escape. Then when you are stable, get your mental health prepared and help Ukrainian army, help to spread the message. And that's it. People who can donate financially, like they unite in special messages and they gather money. And those who can, who are able to buy things in Europe, for example, like in Poland, in Germany, they are buying it and they are trying to find a way to deliver it. And so far, even the trucks there are truck drivers who are volunteering to bring things here in Ukraine. So it comes from all other sides. And then they think, people are searching what they can do. Somebody can help to deliver medical help. Some can deliver an asylum. Some can volunteer to the army. Somebody can be a soldier, like some of my friends in European Youth Ukraine. Immediately they say, okay, I'm going to war. That's it. Bye-bye. Paka. Anyways, stop. What can I do? And really, some people, really the best thing they can do is escape. It's still okay. It's better than panic. Mm. And again, you cannot do much. You don't know what happens tomorrow. We don't know what happens today.
Are you afraid that at some point the internet and communication will be like cut, so that there won't be all these messages and all this like networking? Do you think that it might happen?
It might happen, and we actually have a lot of talks. That first wave, it's usually like they kill military objects. The second wave, they want to attack the internet and mobile communication. Mm-hmm. So even with my like Italian party, this Italia Viva, I guess, yeah, like we exchange the phone number. Like if there is no internet, at least there is a messages and there is a phone connection. Mm-hmm. The first point. Second, we have exchanged there is kind of a mobile application that works as a radio for 200 meters, like called Zelo. So we spread the message, you must download it. At least for 200 meters, you have the message transmitted. Then it goes and goes and goes. And especially in the big cities, it can be helpful. Also, there are some other applications. It's called mesh network. Like if there is a lot of mobile phones with Bluetooth in one place, you still can transmit the message. So it goes
Okay.
For me, it was completely new because I'm humanitarian. I used it to be a translator. I used to be a project manager. But now you must understand everything. And also, okay, mesh network. Okay. Keep calm and read this and understand this. Or keep calm and download application and use and train how to use it. So, yes, people are also preparing to this. And also, I exchanged all the addresses and where to go. So, yes, and we exchanged the messages that where to go if there is a bombing, whom contact, like it should be like in the village, it should be some authority place. In Kiev, there are also subcenters. So, yeah, like we, this is what we think about, that communication must, can be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a problem. So, and the Ukrainian army is trying to protect connection dots also. Yeah, there is also communication can be a problem in terms that some people, for example, they make the video. You see, Ukrainian army is going to protect us. Mm-hmm. And then they show how Ukrainian army moves. Mm-hmm. And then there is a message, basically, you must not do this.
Yeah.
Because it's not only Ukrainians who are looking for this video. You must not show the faces. You must not know not where they're moving.
Yeah.
So basically, sometimes information can be harmful also.
Yeah.
Or like, there are a lot of messages like, how can I get to the West if not by the central road? And surprise for me, it was a message, you must not answer. You must block these people. Because people who are really Ukrainians and who really seek asylum, they know how to get without, you know, the main road.
Yeah,
and if somebody asks, you would better see who this guy is. But I don't know how it managed, but we managed.
I know it's a question you probably get asked quite a lot of people, you know, on the outside of Ukraine. But how can we help? What can we do from here to help you and your family, your friends, your people?
There are two ways. First is the direct way. Of course, there are like these NGOs who help to the army and to civilians, like Return Alive NGO. And it's like national, you can see these messages all over, like they have a lot of bank details, how you can actually give them money.
Mm-hmm.
And they distribute it on the needs of the army. It's also, you can join some European groups in Facebook or European messenger groups. And then they have some interests, like somebody provide medical help. Some people provide some civilian needs, like help for civilian needs. I know that somehow Europeans united in providing asylum because I already got a call. We will wait in Romania, we will wait in Poland. But again, like there's a question. Do we want to leave? But there is already an asylum if I want to, if I want to send someone. And this is incredible. But also, there is an important message for us. The important help for us is to push your governments to help the Ukrainians, to switch Russia off from SWIFT, to make a non-flight zone like it was in Libya 2011. Yes, yeah, no, yeah, that's the situation where I live in, always kids, because no kindergartens. So far, kindergartens are not working, and I think it will not work next week also. Yeah, but returning to my message, how can you help? Yeah, it's really to push the message that it's about European security. It's about you help Ukraine to stop aggression now with us, so it doesn't come to you. And yeah, we want you to switch Russia off the SWIFT. This is really, because economic things, it really something that people feel. Of course, it's not nice to civilian Russians, but once civilian Russian feels it's not comfortable with this power anymore, probably they will change their authorities, they will change their power. And this is also a good sign. Again, this is not about physical aggression. It's about somehow feel you need to do something about this. And also, like some Russian liberals, not all Russian liberals, because we in Ukraine, to be honest, we say that the Russian liberal ends up with Ukrainian question. Mm-hmm. You ask whom the Crimea belongs to, and not all the liberals say it's up to Ukraine, you know. So it's really, but real Russian liberals, they say, do what you are not afraid to do. If you can make a post, a Facebook post, make a Facebook post with hashtag no war. If you can do a repost, do it. If you dare to go to the protest, go. And now it's not that much people who can do this. But as I said, information, it's really crucial now. And thank you very much for this. Mm-hmm. And again, if someone wants to provide asylum, I don't know how much it's needed so far. It's already millions of people who are, you know, heading to the border. It's a huge queue on the border. But still, we believe that Ukraine will stay strong, and Ukrainian army will help us to stay safe, at least at Western Ukraine, but we will see. I mean, thank you very much for this opportunity anyway. Thank you for this podcast anyway. And thank you for all the support you provided for us so far, because we really feel it. And there are a lot of complaints that no Europeans, they only show they're deeply concerned. No, it's not true. We really know that you do what you can. It's not always you do everything you want. Sometimes it's also European solidarity. And there is a thing that we don't like about democracy. It's about majority can. Sometimes it happens that majority doesn't support you, and that's a challenge.
But I think we stop for today, because I think it's very interesting. It's good to hear your voice and hear your story. But I think you have your children to think about it as well.
You see, it happens to me all the day. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's also another challenge. But it doesn't mean they already, you know, they are missing me for this half hour or so. No, it's the whole day. And it's also a point, like, they spent a lot of time in the car. Mm-hmm. And it's also, they feel that we are nervous. So it's kind of stress everywhere. But somehow, yeah. But
So, Anna, thank you very much. If you, at any point, you want to talk to us again, just tell me or tell Christiane. If other people you know want to, you know, spread a message or say something, we're always open for the information and for the communication, and keep the line open.
Дякую.